I just want to welcome everyone once again to the service this morning. Everyone tuning in online, we're thrilled that you are partaking in the service. Of course, we want to welcome you to one of our locations. It is great that you are tuning in. We love the fact that you can watch from your home. But the Bible is very explicit that we are to gather together as the body of Christ to pray for each other and encourage one another. And so we just want to invite you to either the Carlisle campus or the Redverse campus. Come check us out. Get connected. We would love to see you there. Redverse, of course, we're thrilled that you are tuning in. I hope that the Lord just moves in mighty ways at your service this morning, and that you are ready to receive all that God has for you. Of course, we introduced last week that we are jumping into a new series called Revision, that in the midst of the new, sometimes it's the best thing isn't to add more, it's actually to step back and take a look at the things that we are doing and see if we can maybe build on the foundation, maybe improve the foundation, just get back to the core of who we are, and then really dive into the new things that God has called us to. There's no point in building on a faulty foundation. It is better to just step into, get the core ready, get everything that we need set, and then build up from there. And so last week we dove into, we looked at this idea of refocus. Refocusing our faith, getting rid of all the extra things, all the distractions, and really getting into the core of what makes Christianity great. And we talked about how there's really three things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the first two. And the third one was go and make disciples. And at the end of the service, we discovered that they actually all feed into each other. As we focus on one, all of a sudden it kind of feeds into the other, and it feeds into the other. And this morning, I hope that we kind of see the same thing. This morning, we want to look at our next R word, which is revitalize. And coming out of the Alberta district, revitalize was this word. It's kind of like the coin word for the district. We had found that as a district, we had spent so much time focusing on planting churches. And I'm not against planting churches. I love planting churches. I love the idea of getting into an area where there isn't a church and just planting something new and reaching out to people that maybe have never met Jesus, never been to church. But what happened is we actually found that the churches that were established started to suffer because we were sending out all of these really strong believers into these areas to plant these churches. All of a sudden, the established church was losing all its strong people and suffering. And so the district said, this can't happen anymore. We have to actually step into this idea of making sure that what we have established is healthy. And so we started saying revitalize. And revitalize means to imbue with new life and vitality, to put new life into, to restore, to revive. And so, and that's one of the things that when we step into a new year, that's really the heart of all of our New Year's resolutions, right? We want to make this year better than last year. We want to make better decisions. And so we will, in essence, we just want to be healthier. That's really what revitalization is. We just want to get healthier. Then, not saying that we aren't healthy now, but we want to be better. And so, what are the typical New Year's resolutions? I'm going to eat less. I'm going to eat more good stuff. I'm going to drink less coffee. I'm going to drink more water, get more sleep, exercise more. You know, I could go on all day with all these different, but it's not just the physical. It's, you know, I want to mend some broken relationships. I want to be more positive at the workplace. I want to speak life where maybe I've been negative in the past. All these things have to do with being healthier. All these things have to do with being revitalized. And this morning, as we look at revitalization, it's something that isn't just a man idea. God is very concerned about our health. And so we're going to look at some scripture about the different areas that God is concerned about. Obviously, God is concerned about all of our health. Our total, not total body, but total person. And so not just our spiritual health. I think sometimes we think that God's just more concerned about our spirituality, everything else could fall apart, but as long as we're good spiritually, we're good to go. And that's not the case at all. You look through Scripture, God is concerned about your whole person. And that's actually where we're going to start. Total person health. Complete. And to kind of launch off, I'm going to go to a Scripture that I actually talked about back in October when I came and tried to make a good impression. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Well, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, this idea of fruit and trees, Jesus loved this analogy, right? He talked about how a healthy tree produces fruit. You can tell you can tell what kind of a tree it is by the fruit that it produces. And he used that as, he said you could tell a person where their heart is at, where their attitude is at, based on their fruit, right? He loved this analogy of a tree and the fruit that it produces. And so he steps into this, and so Paul picks this up, and he says, the Spirit is the same way. When the Spirit is healthy, it produces certain fruit. But when we look at the fruit that it's producing, it actually isn't just spiritual fruit. This fruit is actually for every area of our life. We look at love, we look at kindness. These are relationally healthy things that are happening between people, right? Healthy spirit produces healthy relationships. Healthy spirit produces healthy mindset, peace, joy, patience. These are all things that we want in our emotional health, right? We see it's really hard to be anxious. It's really hard to worry when we're at peace. It's really hard to be angry when there's joy in our life. God's spirit, a healthy spirit, produces healthy emotion, healthy mindset, healthy relationship, and healthy body, right? Self-control. Everyone loves talking about self-control, right? That's just like, woohoo, yeah, let's get to talk about. But self-control has physical benefits, right? I knew I'd get that word eventually. Right? If we're self-control, we're going to watch what we eat. We're going to watch what we say. We're going to watch. Self-control has. So the fruit of the Spirit has huge ramifications for our total body health. Healthy spirit leads into everything else. But also, what we've learned is actually the other way, too. If we're unhealthy mentally or unhealthy emotionally, it can actually help make it really hard to be healthy spiritually. Because we are in this mindset where, well, I'm down, I'm unhappy, and I don't want to read, I don't want to pray, I don't want to go worship, I don't want to hang out with God's people, I don't want to do these things. And so all of a sudden, our emotional state is affecting our ability to relate to God and relate to His people. So God is worried about our spirit. We're going to jump into Philippians 4 here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. What is Paul talking about? Paul's talking about how we need to be healthy in our mind. He says, don't dwell on these negative things. Don't dwell on these things that actually take away, but get your mind focused in on these good things. Whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is true, whatever is excellent, whatever is lovely. Fill your mind with these things, and then it just feeds into everything else. God wants us to be healthy spiritually. He wants us to be healthy mentally. He wants us to be healthy. Oh, this is more. Proverbs 18:21. Most of you probably heard this. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. You ever noticed how we can start talking about really negative things and it starts affecting us emotionally? It starts affecting the way we think. If we watch our tongue and we speak life into our situation, we speak life into the people around us, if we just commit to speaking truth and love and joy, it helps us in our emotional state. It helps us in our relating with others. It just, God's concerned about your spiritual health. He's concerned about your emotional health. He's concerned about your physical health. Leviticus 11. I'm not reading Leviticus 11 because it's dry and there's a lot there. But one of the things that we've learned is that when God was forming the nation of Israel and he wrote and he impressed on Moses to write out Leviticus, one of the things that he talks about is what is considered clean and unclean food. And lots of us get really uncomfortable when we go into this because one of the things that God doesn't let the people of Israel eat is bacon. And that's a problem because we all like bacon. But what we've learned, actually, is that these clean and unclean food was not just a matter of spiritual obedience, but there's actually scientists went into looking at these foods, looking at these animals, and there's actually some scientific reasoning behind this. I'm going to pick on the pig because I brought it up. In those days, the pig was unclean because it has a split hoof, but it doesn't chew cud. And what pigs do chew on is everything. We know that pigs are clean. They don't like to be dirty. But pigs are basically nature's carburetor. They will eat anything. And at the time, one of the things that pigs would actually eat was decaying bodies. And so that would get into their meat. And obviously we don't want to eat pig that's eaten dead things. That's gross. But other nations were. And all of a sudden we see how God, in his setting the people of Israel apart, actually was protecting them from these foods that could actually cause them harm. He was actually setting them up to be healthier than the other nations. Because one of God's hearts was that the nation of Israel would be so set apart that other nations would look at them and be like, wow, look how great your God is. Look how great you are as a people. We want to be a part of that. We want to step into that relationship that you have with your good and loving and marvelous God. And so the food laws weren't just a spiritual thing. They're actually a physical thing. And I pick on one more just because I found it really interesting. Lobster. Lobster is actually considered to be an unclean food. Yet we pay way too much for it when we go to a restaurant. But according to God's laws, when it came to fish, if it doesn't have scales and doesn't have fins, it's unclean. And what this group of people discovered about lobster is because they are bottom dwellers, bottom feeders, they'll eat anything that ends up on the bottom of the ocean. And same thing, whatever they're eating gets into their meat, and when we eat it, it gets into us, and bleh. The study just wrecked all seafood for me. I'm just going to say that. I don't want anything to do with lobster or crab or anything. But, you know, I know people enjoy that. I'm not saying you can't eat it anymore, but I'm just saying that there's actually huge ramifications for what God laid out as clean and unclean. There's actually really good reason to avoid some of these foods. So, physical, spiritual, emotional, and of course, all these things start to feed into each other. And as we look into the fact that God is concerned about us individually, it also starts to feed into the fact that God is concerned about us collectively. 1 Corinthians 12:26. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So we're all parts of this body. We're all parts of this group. We're all working together, and all the parts have to work in order for the mission that God has called this church to be accomplished. And so if one part starts to suffer, if one part starts to fall behind, then it affects the whole body. And it is up to the healthy members to come alongside the unhealthy members and say, I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to support you in this. I'm going to get you out of this unhealth because we are affected by it. We are affected when someone is struggling with their emotional health. All of us are affected when someone is struggling with their physical or their spiritual. When our health as an individual is affected, it affects everybody. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one is honored, we all celebrate with the one that is honored. And so, God's concerned about our health. And this is a good encouragement for us as individuals. It's a reminder that my health does not just affect me, or my unhealth doesn't just affect me. It affects everybody. It affects my family. It affects my church family. It affects my community. It affects everything. And so that's a good reminder, good onus for me to stay healthy. And of course, it's, you know, I get it. Big guy talking about health. Okay, I get it. And this is one thing, but I have always been taught that if I just preach the things that I'm good at, I don't preach much of the Bible, right? It is, as pastors, we need to preach above ourselves. And this is a reminder for me as much as it is for anybody to make sure I am staying on point with my health. Physical, emotional, spiritual, everything. And I need your guys' help to keep me on point as I help you stay on point. And so we're all in this together. When one suffers, we all suffer. God is concerned about the total body. And so there's two things that I want to bring up about this total body health. Number one, we got to watch what we're taking in. Matthew 6 says it this way, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, the whole body will be healthy. The whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Jesus is talking about how we have to be careful about what we're taking in. And I mean, he's talking about what we take in with our eyes, but it's everything, right? We've seen how recent studies have shown that when it comes to like weight loss or weight gain, it is less to do with how much you exercise. Exercise is still important, but it's actually more to do with what you are eating, with what you're taking in. If you want success in that area and don't change your diet, it's a way steeper incline than if you actually focus on what you're eating, you focus on what you're... And it's the same for our spiritual health. It's the same for our emotional health. If we're only ever taking in bad through our eyes and our ears, it's really hard to just dwell on everything that is good, like Philippians 4 tells us to. Right? If we're watching the wrong television show or we're listening to bad music, and then we're like, okay, oh, you're supposed to focus on what is good, pure, and lovely, but the song we're listening to is not talking about pure and lovely things, it's really hard for our mind to get into that mindset. It is really hard to be emotionally healthy when we are surrounding ourselves with negative people, right? And it's not to say that we can't be around negative people, but we need to be around people that are actually going to feed into our emotional health more than we're around people that aren't, right? And so we need to find that group of people that's going to speak life into us so that we can speak life into others, but we can also have this healthy mindset. We need to be careful what we're taking in physically, because it affects so much of our health. I forgot which side the mic was on. And it kind of happens with our spiritual. If we're not reading the Word, if we're not worshiping God, if we're not diving into God's presence the way that we know we have to, our spiritual life isn't going to be healthy. If we're watching things that are contrary, this is why one of the things we've learned about all this media that we take in through social media, TV, Netflix, Disney, I go on. You know, there's so many avenues where we're taking in. It's not necessarily the content that is affecting us. It is the worldview. It's the lean of the director that's producing the content. Because everyone comes into a situation with a worldview. They come in with a base set of beliefs that affects how the whole thing is played out. And that worldview, that base set of beliefs, actually affects us more than we realize. It might not actually be, you know, the wizardry or whatever. It's not the superheroes of Avengers that affects us. It's the core beliefs of the directors that actually affects us more. And it starts to influence the way that we think. That's why things like Right Now Media are fantastic. If you're not on our Right Now Media, you need to get on that. You need to start taking in that stuff, because that is good stuff on there. And it's open to everybody. Anyways, that's my little pitch for that. God's concerned about our total health, and it starts with what are we taking in? And how aware of what we're taking in are we? The other thing like we need to be careful of, are we putting it into practice? This is what James says. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? But someone will say, You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you your faith by my works. James 2, 14 and 18. What's James saying? James saying that it's not enough just to take in and absorb all this information. It's not enough to just show up at church and sing the songs and listen to the pastor and go home and just be like, good job. No, he's saying you have to actually put it into practice. Jesus says that in Matthew at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, he says that the house that's built on the rock, the house that's built on solid foundation, is the one that doesn't just hear what's being said, but hears and puts it into practice. That is the house built on the solid foundation. Because he says, the guy that built it on sand, it's not that he wasn't listening. He was listening to the teacher. He was listening to the teachings of Jesus. He was processing the parables, but he never put it into practice. And so when the winds came, and the trials come, and the temptation comes, his house fell apart. It is so important. And even like, so that's the spiritual. Of course, physically, that makes sense. We can read all the books about exercise we want. We never actually do it. You know, I know how to take care of myself. I'm just not taking care of myself. I know how to eat right. I'm just not doing it. And even with books and everything that we read about our emotional health, we can know that we're speaking wrong things. We can know that we're not watching our words. But if we don't actually do something about our words and actually start speaking life into the situation, and we don't actually put it into practice, it doesn't actually help anything. Knowing what's wrong and not doing anything about it doesn't actually make anything better. And so God is saying it's not enough to know. Let's actually step into and let's start putting it into practice. Let's start putting the practices of Scripture into our life. Let's start actually doing what God has called us to do. God is concerned about our total health. God wants to revitalize us as individuals. God wants to revitalize us as a church. He wants to breathe new energy. And again, it's not saying that there's unhealth. It's not saying that there's something wrong. It's just saying where we are, there's always room to improve. There's always room to get better. And so let us enter into this year refocused when it comes to our faith, but revitalized when it comes to our health. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray, and then we'll call the worship team up. Father God, we know that you have called us to so much more. God, you have great plans. You have great days in store for each and every one of us. And God, we want to step into that. We want to step into our calling. We want to step into the things that you have set aside for us from before we were born. God, you had a plan for us, and God, we want to step into that. And so we want to be focused on you, but today we want to be focused on our health. We want to be healthy spiritually. We want to be healthy emotionally. We want to be healthy mentally, and we want to be healthy physically, because we don't want any hindrances when it comes to living out our calling. We don't want anything to hold us back. And so, God, I just pray that you call us into greater health. You just revitalize us in ways that we didn't know we needed to be revitalized. I pray, God, that you put your hand on those areas that we need help. And I pray, God, that you would bring people into our lives to help us. I pray, God, that we would be humble as people come and say, hey, I see you. Can I pray for you? Can I step into this with you? Can I support you in this? Because we're all in this together. When one suffers, we all suffer. And when one is honored, we all celebrate. And so, God, I just pray that these truths just sink into our heart. They sink into our mind. And, God, we just step into the calling that you have for us. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen.